morning, everybody. I first came to this church when I was a teenager, as a first year medical student in the University of Nairobi. And this is the church where I learned the value of scripture memory, that we memorize God's word. I joined a group of navigators who are teaching us that. And scripture memory, why scripture memory? Because it is the Bible, God's written word. And if we want to know God, let us get in here, read our Bibles, pray every day if we want to grow in our faith. It is not a Sunday school chorus. It is a lifelong endeavor for all of us. I am glad to be here. I am humbled to be given the privilege of sharing the word with us today in this church when you are celebrating the Health Week. And I am encouraged to see how deeply involved the health professionals are in this church in caring for the health of people in this congregation, in the various places where they extend their hands, in the clinics in Maasailand, in the medical camps they conduct, and they are going down Mombasa Road to Sultan Hamud. They are active. Jesus, when he was on earth, everywhere he went, he was doing good. And I took my title for this morning's meditation from that fact. Jesus was doing good everywhere he went. He gave the Sermon on the Mount. He fed the hungry people who were listening to him. He healed their sick. He cast out demons. And he saved sinners. And he touched lepers. He did good everywhere he went. And why I chose the title Modeling Jesus Christ in Our Dying World. Our world is bowed down with sin and sickness. Sin both cripples the heart and the physical body, and cripples the spirit of man and his soul and his mind, and binds them, preventing them from coming near to God. But when Jesus came on earth, he did everything well. For 3 years he was teaching his disciples and talking to the people, and he touched everybody who came to him. He didn't send any one away empty-handed. So how are we going to model Jesus' life as health professionals and as believers in Jesus Christ? I want to say this: health professionals are not the only ones who bring healing to humanity. When you celebrate their week, it's because most sicknesses are visible, suffering and pain are our lot since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. And therefore, let us think about these things together. I'll begin by saying that the two readings that were read to us talk about suffering. And who is the first person to see people are suffering? It is God. God sees our sufferings. He hears our cries. His ears are open to our cries. His eyes see us. We cannot hide from God wherever we are. Even inside this sanctuary, He is seeing us. When Adam and Eve sinned because they had disobeyed God's word, they used to enjoy fellowship with Him regularly until one known as the serpent came visiting. What did he do? He created doubts in Eve's mind about what God had said, telling her that if you eat the fruit that God forbade you to eat, you will not die. Yes, and Eve listened to the lie. She went to the middle of the garden. She knew where the fruit was, picked and ate, and gave it to Adam. He also ate. And that was the beginning of sin and suffering, disobeying God's word. Ask yourself this morning, this word of God, what does it mean to you? Are you obeying it on a daily basis? Now that you have the genetic code of Adam, that does not have to go through the DNA tests we are hearing about in this age of technology and molecular science. Are we obeying God's word as it is given to us in the Bible without question? Let us be warned. Let us read it, meditate on it, memorize it, especially the verses that speak to us personally, and obey. That is the test of the person who is modeling their lives according to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to earth obeying God's command to come into this world of suffering and die on the cross on our behalf. Why did he do that? Because Adam sinned, we are sinning, and the blood of goats and sheep and bulls could not remove that sin. Jesus was the only one who was sinless in this world. the tent which he occupied in the flesh of bodily form did not contaminate Jesus Christ, because as we read in the Bible, he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus conquered death. God raised him up from the dead, and he opened the curtain of the temple so that we can, each one of us, go directly to God, confessing our sins so that we may be forgiven. I am telling you what you already know. Are you doing it? I didn't come here to teach you anything new, just to recount what I know and we all know. Jesus Christ went further than that. When he went back to sit at the right hand of God, after he ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. Every believer who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit lives in their hearts. What does the Holy Spirit do? He teaches us to obey God's word, encourages us to know what it says and believe it, and gives us the strength to obey it and to say no to all ungodliness. That is what the Holy Spirit does in our hearts. And also, it is not just the Holy Spirit who is in our hearts. Jesus is also there. That is what he told his disciples. He lives in them. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And because Jesus Christ also lives in God the Father, the three in one are living in us if we have been born again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us be counted as believers who will do the works that Jesus Christ did everywhere he went. I wanted to emphasize that part of our life as Christians, because we are all called to participate in what Jesus Christ did in this world. Your priests and pastors and moderators and elders are not the ones who are committed to carry the word of God everywhere we go or everywhere they go. We too are committed to doing that. Doctors, and I'm one of them, never healed anybody. That is a confession I'm making. God is the healer. I am the Lord that healeth you. Believe it for yourself, especially if you have a nagging illness that has not been healed by doctors. Believe that the Lord is your healer, and he works through the hands of doctors because he called them to do that job. He does. He works through their minds. He works through the health professionals as well, laboratory technicians, radiographers, radiologists, nurses, doctors. He works through them because each one of them is in the continuum of healing. We cannot say that because God heals us, we will not go and see the doctor. We can't, because some of us believe I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a born again Christian. I will pray and the Lord will heal me. The Lord is the one who determines the pathway you through which your pathway will come. He may heal you instantaneously after a prayer said by somebody else or by yourself. That is God's mandate. He is the one who determines the pathway. He might ask you to go to the doctor. Don't sit at home and say, I can't go to the doctor. I have prayed and the pain is persisting. You are being foolish when you do that. Stand up, go to the doctor and seek help. I am saying doctors are extended hands in the healing ministry of God. He is the one who heals us. Coming to the passages that were read for us, Moses was leading the children out of Egypt, and he did because God had heard their cry. They were being oppressed by Pharaoh and his other taskmasters with hard labor as slaves, and God heard their cry. What did he do? He came down, didn't he? He appeared to Moses at the burning bush. You know that story. Moses was a shepherd. What did he have? He had a staff in his hand. What did God use in the hand of Moses? The staff that he had doing his daily business. Because God has called us to do the work, has given each one of us, and he gives us skills and competencies to achieve it. God is holy, remember? He told Moses to remove his dirty sandals of walking in the desert and step on his bare feet. Yes. Then he talked to him. You know how the conversation went. Moses lied to say he is not capable. God said, I will be with you. He tried to say he cannot talk. He told him, your brother Aaron will be your mouthpiece. I will to speak to you. You are the one I have determined will do this. I am giving you Aaron to assist you so that you can go to Pharaoh, because he had seen the suffering of the Israelites. It was not a one man's job. It is God reading, speaking, walking, and determining how that process is going to be done. And he did it. Pharaoh, after various miracles performed by Moses with his staff and with the word of God and all the prayers he said for Pharaoh so that his heart can be hardened, the victory over that was won. And the last thing that allowed the Israelites to leave Egypt is when God killed the firstborns of the Egyptians. The firstborn males, the firstborn animals also died, everything. Because God was determined to let the Israelites go. So when God wants to deliver you from anything, he will make that pathway ready for you. And he did for the Israelites. Is there anything that you feel cannot be touched? It has oppressed you, wherever you are, hindering you from worshiping God as you ought and believing his word? Bring it to God. The Israelites left. And then Moses led them for 40 years. Remember, he started leading them at the age of 80. And by the time he died, he has accomplished the charge God had given him. Don't say you are too old to serve God, or you are too young, you are just a shepherd or an accountant. Do not allow yourself to be cheated by your bosses to change the accounts during your audit trails, because God has seen them. Yes, governance. Do not allow yourself to be used by people who do not want to obey the authorities that God has appointed for them, because he appoints rulers and kings. And we Kenyans are specialists in impunity everywhere we go. On the roads, where we are working, we want to do our own thing, evading taxes, stealing from government coffers or our employers. God is telling us to stop doing those things. When we talk about governance, we are all involved. We fuel corruption in this nation. We cannot point fingers. So let us be people who will stand before the world and tell them, like Samuel did, "Have I taken anything from anybody? Say it now, I will return it. Have I accepted a bribe? Say it now, and I will return it." You will remember what Zacchaeus did. He paid fourfold what he had extorted, taken from the people who he was collecting taxes from. Now, the Good Samaritan story. You know the scenario very well. The robber attacked a person on his road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Robbed him, beat him up until he was half dead. And then the priest, who knows God's word of mercy and compassion, passed by him. The Levite also did. Those are the teachers of the law, including the one who prompted Jesus to ask him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" It is people who know the word of God and do not practice it. And a foreigner, a Samaritan, is the one who had the compassion, which should have been demonstrated by the priest and the Levite. and the Samaritan stopped, cleaned the man up, bound his wounds, poured in the oil and the wine to soothe and to purify the dirty wounds. You know, wine is antiseptic, and the oil soothes. He did that. Then he took him to an inn for him to rest, and the next day he left and left some money with the innkeeper just in case the debt was not covered, and if he needed anything more, he will pass by and pay it. He was going to pay the debt in full. My brother, my sister, what has Jesus asked you to do? Have you done it? Have you done it completely? Jesus finished his task on earth. You have a few years to go. Emulate him. He modeled what to do. He even washed his disciples' feet as he served. The sicknesses we have in our bodies, Jesus will carry them for you. It doesn't matter whether it is cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, or anything else. All of them, Jesus will take care of through the pathway he has determined for you. And it is for us to seek God about these matters. Psychological illnesses are illnesses of the spirit also. Before one is declared psychologically sick, the doctors investigate these matters. Some of them come out of our indulgences. Alcohol is one of them. Alcohol is a spirit. It alters our minds. And a mind that is altered, God cannot use. Drunkenness is condemned in the Bible. Now, the society is full of these things. We are being told not to listen to other voices. We come here every Sunday. Let us listen to the word of God and to God's voice and obey it. Let us not want to justify ourselves like the teacher of the law when he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Surely a teacher of the law knew who his neighbor was. So it is my prayer that we will emulate and model what Jesus Christ taught. Learn humility. Have integrity in all our processes. Even when we are caught by the police with a traffic offense, there is nothing to negotiate there. Go and pay the fine. Yes, go and pay the fine. Don't corrupt the policeman. I talked about impunity. And God can heal our nation from all these things that bedevil us, including sicknesses. I give glory and honor to God because I have been sick and I have been treated in hospitals by colleagues. I have had some aches and pains, and elders have prayed for me, and I have been healed from those. So let us keep in tune with God, and God will help us what to do. I emphasize these things because they are important to us, and we have to carry on serving God with the energy He gives us. Moses served God until he was 120 years, and he was God's friend. And each one of us, with Jesus Christ in our hearts, God the Father and the Holy Spirit also together in us, will lead us on until Christ comes. Because you know, from Genesis to Revelation, God is talking about how He will redeem this earth from its suffering. In the meantime, let us spread the word of God with our hands and our feet as we help in the area God has planted each one of us. I have talked in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray.